Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening. Assigned to the Global Christian Church this morning on the fourth Sunday of Advent comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter, starting at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
We'll come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you. We'll give the world to you, and you'll blow us all away. Someday, someday, yeah, you'll blow us all away.
Throughout these 4 weeks of Advent, we've invited our kitchen tables. Kitchen tables are our small groups here at the table. They are our expression of historic Wesleyan class meetings. We've invited our kitchen tables to practice reading the Bible in a way that has been passed down through the ages. It's a devotional way of reading the Bible called Lectio Divina, and the way it works is you read a passage multiple times and hold silence in between. And as you hear it read, you listen for a word or a phrase that stands out for you or like shimmers for you. Then you read it again, and then about that phrase that you've shared around the circle, you wonder together what God might be saying to you through that word or phrase. So Thursday night for me with this passage in my kitchen table that you just heard Matt read, it was the phrase, "Joseph, being a righteous man." And then when I looked at the Bible, I realized I didn't even hear it right. I heard this: Joseph was a righteous man. And then I kept wondering, so am I annoyed with Joseph? Was he? And now he's not? All of that came up around our circle. At the time this Gospel of Matthew was written in the first century, a person was considered righteous if they followed the law. So sexual relations, as it says in there, by a betrothed virgin, which really means a young girl, around 14-ish, maybe younger, A betrothed virgin with a man other than her betrothed betrayed the commitment to future marriage and was considered adultery. And the law permitted execution after a public trial. And that meant public stoning, usually. And Joseph seems to be practicing a level of compassion by being unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, deciding instead to dismiss Mary quietly. So just so you all know, here is the law Joseph would have been keeping. It's from Deuteronomy 22, verse 23. It reads like this. If there is a young woman, a virgin, already engaged to be married, and a man meets her in the town and lies with her, you shall bring both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she did not cry for help in the town, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. Having made this kind and compassionate choice to dismiss her quietly, Joseph goes to bed. And that's when he has a dream. It says, but just when he had resolved to do this, the dismissing part, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God tells Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's true, I think, that we can expect the unexpected with God. And try to remember that things outside of convention can often be wonderful signs that God is at work. That's a huge ask in this story. Huge. Huge. In Lewis Carroll's children's classic, you've heard of Through the Looking Glass with Alice. The White Queen advises Alice to practice believing six impossible things before breakfast. One preacher shared that she thought Joseph was bringing that practice right into our midst. How else are we to prepare ourselves for the preposterous story that we are about to hear again? About how God decided to abandon heaven for earth, trading God's power and might for diapers and a teething ring. And how God's earthly mother could not say even how it happened exactly, although his mother's husband knew for sure that it had nothing whatsoever to do with him. That's Joseph. It's what my beloved New Testament professor, Herman Wachin, referred to as the reordering of power. It seems that when Joseph awoke from that sleep, his sense of right and wrong had been turned upside down. It was definitely at least lost in the shuffle of his dream. So I guess this is what it looks like when our personal righteousness gives way to God's righteousness. Joseph didn't violate convention to be politically rebellious or even to know his own goodness, I don't think. He violated convention and remained faithful to Mary because God, as God often does, intervened in a really unexpected way. God sent an angel to appear to Joseph in a dream. And the angel, at least how I hear it, basically said, I know this is not what you expected, dude, but it's going to be okay. God is about to do something wonderful, despite the fact that according to Jewish custom and law, you are in a rather socially unacceptable situation. to put it mildly. Look, the angel said, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Turns out, this version of the whole story rests on whether Joseph will believe his dream or not. Advent's the season in which we prepare ourselves to expect the unexpected. It's a time to believe our dreams. It's when we are invited to be like Joseph, to let our dreams be real. For 4 weeks, we've been talking in one way or another about preparing for the mystery of Christmas. We followed John the Baptist from the wilderness to his jail cell as we hear John the Baptist's shock and surprise at the unexpected way God was coming. Often in church, this is where we switch this week. We switch over to the angel coming to deliver news to Mary with that message, "Hail, favored one, that God is with you." But that's the Lucan version of the story. And today we're hearing Matthew's version, which is where really we learn anything and everything about the story of Joseph. See, according to Matthew, the whole grand experiment hangs on what happens with Joseph. If Joseph believes the angel, everything is on. We said this morning, game on. The story can continue, see? Mary will have a home, she will have a family, and her child will be born the son of David. But if Joseph does not believe, then everything grinds to a halt. If he wakes up from his dream, shakes his head, like maybe I see it like this, right? And goes then instead to the courthouse and files the paper for divorce, Mary becomes an outcast forever. Or maybe she's killed for disgracing her family, the community, herself. She might have even been disowned by her family and left to scratch out her living if they chose not to kill her, however she could. She'd have to feed herself and her child on whatever she could beg for or steal. We're pretty sure she's 12 or 14. It all hangs on Joseph and whether or not he'll say yes. See, the child is Joseph's until he says otherwise. Whether or not his own seed is involved, he becomes then the child's father, the moment he says yes. Because the issue at stake is not a biological one, like we might imagine. It's a legal one. If someone says, just verbally says back then, "This is my son," he is so attested to be his son. That's what Jewish law read. So will Joseph claim the child or not? Will he believe the impossible and give the child a home, or will he stick with what makes sense and let the miracle go hungry? Joseph was a righteous man. According to Matthew, his belief is as crucial to the story as Mary's womb in Luke. And God and all the angels are on her side, but it takes both parents to give birth to this remarkable child, Mary to give him life, and Joseph to give him a name, Jesus, son of David, from whose house the Messiah shall come. In our own age of single parenting, this issue of naming sounds a bit quaint, right? But the heart of this story is much bigger. and more profound than that. The heart of the story is about a righteous, a just man who wakes up one day to find his life wrecked, his wife pregnant, his trust betrayed, his name ruined, his future revoked, like pulled away from him. It's about a righteous man who surveys that mess that he had absolutely nothing to do with, and then decides to believe that God is present in the mess. With every reason to disown it, to walk away from it in search of a cleaner, more controlled life with an easier, more conventional wife, Joseph doesn't do it. He claims the scandal and he gives it a name, his name. He owns it, he legitimizes it, and the mess becomes the place where the Messiah gets born. So it feels to me that Joseph is the one who's most like us. He's the one to watch, as one preacher wrote. Joseph shows us a profound and deep example of trust in God in the midst of what must have been a whole lot of questions. Isn't that what our lives are like? Trusting God in the midst of a whole lot of questions. Aren't we living in those questions that we encounter day after day after day? Don't we come up against things that are beyond our control and things that we would never choose to be true or real? Like a miscarriage, when we deeply long to be a parent. Like a divorce, from someone you believed would be your life partner, not because they did something unforgivable, but because you forgot to tend to one another as all those important things that had to be done got in the way. The death of our beloveds, the disillusionment in those we trust to be for all the people. Don't we fall into bed at the end of the day, tempted to turn away from all of the mess, just like Joseph, and think, I am just going to divorce quietly myself from all of that mess. Tomorrow's a new day. God, though, doesn't come to Joseph when he's wide awake. When Joseph's praying at the temple, as the righteous ones are expected to do, God doesn't come to Joseph through a burning bush or like a really cool parting of the clouds while he is hanging out with the shepherds. God doesn't come to Joseph when he's in his carpenter's workshop or with a client delivering his latest task. No. God delivers this message in a dream. He comes to Joseph in a dream and whispers, "Do not be afraid." And I just want us to remember at this point in the story that Joseph has no idea what lay ahead. Okay? We know, but he doesn't. So for him, it'll be a journey of sleepless nights in which he must be desperate, I would think, and afraid for the son that he is going to call Jesus. He has no idea of the journey that they will be making soon, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, from the temple to the cross, to the empty tomb. Nope. He has no idea, but he wakes up. He wakes up and says, okay, here we go. I swear I'll be around for you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll make a million mistakes. I'll make the world safe and sound for you. And someday you'll blow us all away. His practiced righteousness had somehow prepared him to recognize God's voice. And the rest of the story will unfold in time. So many times, God speaks to us or gives us a dream of how God comes, beckoning, luring us to trust and to follow. It's more than a story. It's real. We are just 2 days away from God's coming. So I invite all of us to wait in anticipation for the one bravely named by Joseph. And that name is Emmanuel. God is with us. Amen.
Messiah, Emmanuel.